and welcome to the Planational Podcast, Future Rich. I am Barbara Ginty, your host, and also a CFP, which is a Certified Financial Planner. And I am here with my guest today, Ophelia. Hi, Ophelia.
Hey, Barbara.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so our guests know you sent me a very detailed overview of your financial situation yesterday, so I already have everything in front of me. But why don't you tell our listeners how old you are, your status, married, kids, all that, and where you're located?
So I think I'm 37 or 38. married for 14 years, and I have two kids, a 5.5-year-old and a 4-year-old. And my husband and I and our kids, we live in North Carolina.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest concern? I have my biggest concern, but what is your biggest concern?
Our debt and just disorganization. I know our, papers, everything seemed organized when I sent it over, but it's pretty much the first time I've personally ever done all that, to look at our financials and to see where we're at. Student debt is a big concern for me. And then, yeah, the new business starting up and everything, I just feeling disorganized. And
well, you have everything very organized. And I think it can be eye-opening when you have to put everything pen to paper and put it all together, or in an Excel sheet, really, mm-hmm. And see everything. So that the listeners know, your husband is a dentist.
Yes.
So he went to medical school, and you also went to college as well, right? And that's what your college, because you have college student loans.
Yeah, I got my master's in occupational therapy.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But then for right now, you're running an art business. Is that correct?
I am.
And then your husband, just filling in all the listeners, your husband is switching from a private practice to opening his own practice.
So yeah, he works as an associate, and he is just a few weeks out from, starting his own, opening his own private practice. And we'll be there kind of both doing part-time until the practice itself builds up, his own practice builds up and gets busy and has enough patients for full-time work.
Perfect. And then, when we were talking about, because your situation is a little bit more complicated than some of the other pods that we've done, your husband's income is variable because he gets paid a commission on the work that he does.
Yes.
Okay. And then your art business has brought in some income, but not really enough to support the household.
No, it's just kind of our extra.
A little extra income.
Yeah.
And you have over $500,000 between you and your husband for student loan debt.
Correct.
And then you just took out a $500,000 business loan.
Correct.
Oh, so we have over $1 million of debt.
Yep.
I was so stressed out last night when I got that. I was like, oh my gosh, how does it feel? Because you just took out the business loan, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it'll all go through the day the practice opens, basically everyone that has been, the construction, all that, everyone gets paid the loan, kind of closes then. And that's when the payments officially will begin on.
Okay, so the payments for the $500,000 loan have not begun yet.
Oh, no, not until the practice gets going.
Okay. And then I have some questions about the practice, but let's talk about your household budget. So you gave me a spreadsheet, and we went through all of your spending, and it looks like your average monthly spending is $17,600.
Yeah.
Are you laughing?
I am.
So it's quite high. But majority of it, a lot of it is you have the student loan payments,
mm-hmm.
right? So just one of those payments the listener knows is almost $1,200 to the Department of Ed loan. And then someone went to school in New York State, huh?
Yeah. My husband did.
Your husband did. Okay. Cause you have a SUNY loan. Cause I work with the SUNY system. That's where our classes are through. And then when I was looking through, obviously cell phones are expensive, but then another big part of the budget is rent and preschool.
Yes. Yep.
And then how much longer for preschool?
We have one more year of that.
Okay. So because that will alleviate $660 in your budget. And then a lot for, which makes sense because your husband, what type of dentist is he?
Just a general dentist.
General dentist. So he has really high disability insurance, but it's necessary for after spending time to go to medical school, it's important to have disability. So the disability is almost $500 a month.
Uh-huh.
And then you have term insurance, which is great. I love to see that you have term. But I have a question. One of your term policies is expiring in 2021. And then you have another one for $2 million. Are they both on your husband?
Yes, they are.
Is there any term on you?
No.
Okay. Not to add something into your budget, because we're going to figure out how to cut from your budget. But term insurance is important on you, because if God forbid something happened to you, your husband, it sounds like maybe you do more of the child care.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So if something happened to you, your husband would need to hire somebody
mm-hmm.
to care for the kids if he's going to be running a business.
Very true.
Yeah. So just something to think about, from like a planning perspective. You could always get, like 10 years and the kids are at least in high school. If God forbid something happened to you, he'd have a little extra money. It doesn't need to be $2 million like your husband, but something to cover your student loans, and then something for childcare. So if God forbid something happened to you, there would be money for that.
Okay.
To pay off your loans and pay for some childcare. So we have to talk about this budget.
yes.
I'm trying. Okay. So the other thing I noticed, which I haven't seen in many people's budget, which is very, it's nice to see, but you do a lot of charitable donations.
We do. Yes. That's a large part of kind of our, just personal mission. And even through his business, there'll be a lot of giving. It's just very important to us.
Yep. And so that is $750 a month.
Yes.
So I want you to kind of talk me through. So with the business, we have an overview of what the business is going to cost. So your husband is going to go down to 2 days a week, working at his current job, and then 3 days at the own practice until that gets up and running. And are you going to be the office manager over there, or did you hire someone?
We would like to hire somebody, trying to search for somebody to hire. And in the beginning, at this point, I'm going to be helping with that. Unless he finds somebody, and I'll still be helping out in the office with other responsibilities.
Okay. Yeah. When I looked over your business expenses, so besides your household budget of your household needs 17,000, I think we said 600, I don't have everything in front, 17,600 to run. The business overhead was estimated at $14,300.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And that's including the lower payment on the loan. So it looks like you have some sort of adjustable loan, because it goes up. It doubles, essentially.
Yes.
By like $3,000. So a little bit.
After 1 year, it
goes up. So more than doubles after 1 year. And so when I was looking through the practice overhead, I didn't see salaries, and salaries can be pretty expensive because you then also have to do payroll.
Yes, you're right.
And so then you're paying for the FICA taxes, workman's comp, unemployment, right? So if you pay someone, let's just say a salary of 30, the business actually needs like 35 or 37. I forget what the exact number is, but you need more than what you offer the employee to cover their payroll.
Yeah, he was saying that there's a budget of $6,000 a month initially for the salaries.
Okay, for all salaries.
Yeah, and initially starting out, there was going to be one assistant and basically one other either office manager or front office that are getting paid besides a husband.
Yeah, and your husband gets paid last.
Yes.
Because as the business owner, just so our lovely listeners... As a business owner, everybody gets paid first. You pay your lease, you're going to pay your loan, you're going to pay for Henry Schein, is specific for dentist practices, right? It's all the equipment.
Correct. Yep.
Yep. You're going to pay for phones, internet, publishing, all of those things. And then usually one of the biggest costs as well as payroll is for paying for your staff, because if you offer them a rate of $30,000 a year, it doesn't actually cost the business $30,000 a year. It costs more than that to cover all of the different insurances you need. I also didn't see insurance in the practice overhead, because you need general liability.
We do have that.
You do have that. Okay, good. And your husband will probably need some specific type of insurance practicing as his own dentist. I don't know what, like for our industry, it's errors and omission. So if God forbid something happened, he has a separate insurance policy in practice.
Malpractice insurance.
Malpractice. Okay. And you have that quote as well, that price?
About 12 grand a year.
Okay. So another $1,000 a month for the malpractice.
I'm sorry. It was 1200 a year.
$1,200 a year for malpractice. Okay. So $100 a month. That's not bad. So what's the plan? I'm worried about the overhead and the budget and the family household budget because it's a big monthly number to hit.
It is. Well, our general plan is just to spend less. I don't know how. I mean, like the biggest thing that comes to us like in doing this was obviously like restaurants going out.
Okay.
I mean,
oh yeah. I mean, you absolutely know.
Yeah. Obviously something that can be cut, significantly, but, there's a couple, you know, a couple loans that we're paying above the minimum. And so we didn't know like if it's worth it for the time being to just cut back and, you know, pay the minimum of some of those school loans to free up some.
Yeah, because you're going to have to be making for the business and the household, bringing in, you know, the business. The nice part about the business is you get to pay a lot of those expenses pre-tax. So that, you know, roughly $14,000-$15,000 is pre-tax, but the household budget of $17,600 has to come in post-tax, right? That's what you need net. So you're going to need to make more than $17,000 to cover a $17,000 household budget. So let's see about what you would need to make for that a month to cover that. I mean, you probably make somewhere around, need to gross around $25,000 to net what you need for the household budget.
Mm-hmm.
Plus then the business needs to bring in $15,000 just to break even. So I think that we need to go through, and I looked through it already, and you don't have a lot of wiggle room, but I think you need to cut out everything that is not essential for living.
Okay.
Everything. Like, I think that you need to go back to living like we lived in college.
Okay.
Because my concern is starting a business is really hard and sometimes takes a little bit longer of a runway to get it off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have enough wiggle room with your savings to float your household budget for more than 2 months.
Okay.
Right. Cause you have, with all your savings, you have about 47, right? Between your Edward Jones and your regular savings.
Yes. Yep.
So that will get you through, you know, just over 2 months for your household,
mm-hmm.
the existing budget. So I would cut out everything that's not essential and focus everything on getting the business up and running. Cause once the business is up and running, I agree that owning your own business gives you a lot more control and will give your husband a lot more control over his income, and long-term can be very, very good, but it is usually a little rough starting a business.
Right.
Having been there and done it, it can be pretty dramatic just because there's always expenses that come up that you didn't plan for. You're going to have to build, your husband's already a dentist, which is great. And he's going to maintain the 2 days a week at the other practice. So that'll bring in some income.
Yeah.
Right. So are you hoping that the 2 days a week is going to cover all the basic expenses on your budget, the household budget?
Yes.
Okay.
So that'll be about $10,000 a month. And he also mentioned that he has, with the business loan, he's got mm-hmm. $50,000 in working capital.
Okay. That he can use.
Yes.
So what I would like to see is for you as the household to exist on your savings and not be using any loans to get by if you can, if you can change your spending habits
uh-huh.
and survive on his income and what you have in savings. And then that way you're not taking out any more debt so that the business, whatever, if it can just break, I mean, I think it would be a great goal if the business can break even, right? And pay for itself initially, and that you can live off of savings and what your husband's bringing in on 2 days a week.
Okay.
And then transition to getting the business to pay your husband a salary where he can eventually switch over to that full time, and that will compensate him as it did with the prior company, right?
Uh-huh.
But now you own a business. But then from there, here's what I think. I think that this will be a good experiment about how with budgeting and how you can live on learn to live on less, because then once the other business gets up and running, I think you could continue to have a very tight budget and start paying off debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to buy a home, they're going to look at your outstanding debt.
Right.
Yeah. But I do think it's all doable. I just think you're going to have to be very, very, very disciplined and really look at like every dollar that you spend.
Yeah, I think that's where we're very bad at doing that and just haven't, I don't know. I guess every time the income goes up over the years, they're just kind of, oh, like somehow we're living within this little, all of a sudden higher income and, you know, not accruing more debt. We're not living off credit cards, but we're not managing anything very well.
Yeah, no, and that's really common. It's really common because when you're going to work every day and working hard and you get a raise, it's like, oh, well, I earned this. I've been busting my butt to get it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you want to, the normal natural thing is to spend it. But, and I also think the hard part about coming out because I see it very often with doctors, is that you just have, they have so much student loan debt.
Yeah.
And they work so hard to get to where they are. And they, you know, they did not have a nice lifestyle or really any lifestyle in residency, mm-hmm. that when they get out and they start making money, they start spending it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they earned it, right? I don't disagree. But the hard part is the dentist or doctor, you know, whether it's a medical, you know, primary care or dentist, is that it comes with a tremendous amount of debt.
Yes, it does.
Student loans. And you've never refinanced any of the student loans, it doesn't look like, right?
Mine, my private one we did, I was with Citibank, which was such a Discover. So the one that's just the Mohela.
Okay. Was refinanced.
Yeah. For a lower
rate. Okay. Because that is another option. I have had a doctor that I worked with before refinance his loans to get a lower rate.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a mortgage at the same time. So they basically had 30 years on the student loans and 30 years on the mortgage. Okay. So they were just kind of running concurrently. But what I would say is, and I'm just looking through your budget to figure out because you obviously cannot cut out, we cannot cut out student loans.
Yeah. I mean, the things that aren't listed, you know, the rest of the random money that gets spent on everything, that's where we can make the significant cuts. I was looking at kid activities. Like, there's certain things that, I mean, for summertime, we don't need to do gymnastics, and that saves $150 a month. There's definitely things that, I mean, at $140 a month, we get a CSA box with vegetables. Like,
oh yeah, I was going to ask you what that was because I didn't know what that was.
CSA, yeah, it's like a delivery where, you know, local farm delivers vegetables.
Oh, that's nice.
Vegetables, and so, but.
Yeah. So what I would do is most people do their, and I think this is also common. Most people, the money comes in, right? And at the end of the month, then you kind of see how you spent your money. If you look at the end of the month or whatever's left over is what goes to savings or extra debt payments, right?
Supposedly, yes.
So that's how I would say 9 out of 10 people do things, right? The money comes in, they spend it. And at the end of the month, okay, like I have $100 left over, or 500, whatever it is. And then that's what I have for savings. So you have to run your household like you're going to run a business. Which is, so it's going to be great, right? Because you're going to be running a business in like T-3 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So when you're running a business, you have to sit down and say you have to do forward, it has to be forward planning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do the same thing with your household. You say, okay, we're going to have 10,000 coming in. And then let's say you have 2,000 coming in from your income. So that's 12,000 we have coming in. Plus we have the 47,000 in savings. So I can, you know, I'll take 2,000 out of savings. So we have to live on $14,000 this month. How am I going to do that? So then from there you say, okay, I have to pay rent, right? We have to pay for childcare. We have to pay for utilities. We have to pay the car payment. We have to pay for our insurance. We have to pay our student loans, and then go through and pay everything that you have to pay, right? To exist.
Okay.
Once you get done existing, right? Then figure out what's your budget for food. How much do you have left over for groceries?
Okay.
And then see if you can work that way. And then it's the same way you're going to run the business, right? But you don't know what's going to come in initially, but you're going to have to set a target for what you're going to try to achieve for the business, given what the expenses are going to be for the business. And I would always give yourself a budget of a little bit higher. So with the business, if you think it's 14,000, then I would build in 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because little things will always come up. Like you might have to FedEx something, right? or you might have to buy something for the office that you didn't think about, or, you know, I didn't see like printing or any of those signage, or is that included? Like those little things can add up. That could be like $100 or $200, right? So build yourself some wiggle room, and then that will be a forward thinking budget as well. So then you know that your husband has to target to do ideally, and I don't know how the billing with insurance works, but I would imagine it's not immediate, right?
Right. It takes about two to three months to get the insurance to start paying.
So then how will the expenses be covered for the first, let's say, 3 months until insurance starts paying for the work that's been done?
That working capital that is part of the loan.
Okay. And the working capital is
$50,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said it. So it's $50,000. Okay. So then that gives you a runway.
About 3 months.
Yeah. You have about 3 months, and that's exactly how long it should take for the insurance billing. Perfect. Okay. So I would run your household just like the business.
Okay.
You're going to have $12,000 coming in. You know, with working capital, you can basically do $15,000 a month, right? And then allocate, but you have to, and this is going to be a hard habit, just like any other habit you form in life. If you're not used to doing it, it's going to seem really onerous and stressful, but it will be a very good exercise to do it because it will also help the business.
Yeah, we know that it's going to be hard, but I think like looking at this, like I was saying, I feel like this is the time I really need to get into, you know, take control of this, because once the business starts making more money,
yes,
we don't want to just see it go to waste again. And at the end of the year go, oh, our savings grew by, you know, a couple thousand, like what?
No. And to be honest, what I see with, so this is why this is going to be a very big change in both of your entire family's life. Like this is going to be a very dramatic change, which is fine. And sometimes they say, and I 100% agree with this, you grow the most when you're uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Being uncomfortable is not fun, but it's really where you have the most personal growth. No, you don't grow from being successful, right?
Right.
You don't change at all from being like, oh, you're great at that. You change the most when it's not fun and when it's uncomfortable and when it's hard. That is when your life really changes. So this is going to be great. It's just going to be a little hard in getting there.
Yeah.
It's going to be challenging, but there's nothing wrong with the challenge. And I definitely think you can do the challenge. and it's good that you're doing it now, because if you recognize that we need to make changes in budgeting and manage control, you will then be so much more successful in business. Because I see a lot of people that are in business that at the end of owning a business for 10 years have nothing to show for it, and they work their tail off.
Yeah, we don't want that.
You don't want that. So what you want to do is do this forward planning budgeting, where you control where all the money goes and you're a hawk and you watch everything. Because then as the business becomes more successful and more money comes in, you're going to be more prudent about where you allocate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you go longer without extra help in the office, and that means you work night and weekends as a family, mm-hmm, to get things done. Because you don't want to hire that next person because of the cost for payroll and insurance and all the benefits, right? And then that way you can put more money into your own retirement and paying off your debt, because that's going to be better for your family. Because as a business owner, now you're 100% responsible for your retirement.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You can be, I mean, owning your own company, because I own my own business and my father owned his own business. It was definitely hard. Like when I first took over my family's business, just to give you an idea, I rented out my bedroom and I slept on the couch.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and actually we
have, like, it was not fun to be in your like late 20s and be like, oh no, I can't have anybody over because I rented my bedroom and I actually sleep on the couch with a suitcase next to it because I can't get my clothes when the door is closed. But you basically are living your life like most people wouldn't for a short period of time, and then you get this huge reward.
Yes.
And I give you another example. I would go out to dinner with friends and I would sit and have water, which was actually worse than renting out my apartment. Cause it was like pure torture. Cause I was like, I know if I touch the bread basket, then I'm going to have to chip in, and I can't afford to chip in. So I just have to sit here and drink this water and pretend like I'm enjoying this. And it wasn't fun, but that, you know, that's what I had to do for the business.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun at all. Like, but when you get to the other side of it, that discipline has made me more successful in my business than if I hadn't had to go through that, right? Like if everything had just been really easy from the get-go and money had come in and I didn't have to worry about it, you don't learn that skill set. And then you're also always very nervous to ever go back there, right? I never want to go back there ever.
Agreed, yeah.
I know if I ever end up in that position where I have no money again, I know I can survive. Like I took on, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't take on a waitressing job this time because my attitude, that was always my fallback, is if I needed money, I picked up a second job. But my attitude was if I just spent nights and weekends hustling, my business would be more successful than me waitressing. Mm-hmm. So then what I had to do, the only choice then was to work nights and weekends on my business and then sacrifice every other thing in my life.
Yeah, that's going to be a mind shift for sure.
Yeah, it's a mind shift. But I honestly think I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah.
You learn a lot about yourself and how resilient you can be. And then when you get to the next point where the business is making money and covering the cost that you needed to, it's the most rewarding experience because of all the sacrifice that you'll go through.
Yeah, just thinking about it, like the freedom. I know there'll be a freedom that'll come with being more in control of managing our money and not feeling, you know, I don't feel like we're slaves to it, but just like, oh, our money's sort of controlling us. And
yeah. So we need to switch it, but to switch it is going to be traumatic. It's going to be a big change, a big life change. It's almost like anything else. You just have to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
But this is the time to do it. This is your opportunity.
Oh man. Okay.
Are you ready? Are you ready to make this change?
Yes.
Okay.
We've talked about it long enough that he's been wanting to do this for so long, to have his own business again. And that, yeah, I don't want to get to a point where we're like crawling back to our parents, moving back across the country because we can't afford to live where we live. And so.
No. And so that's your worst case scenario, right? That this doesn't work.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. You have to make this work.
Yep.
But that's better. Having a safety net isn't always a good thing. This is going to be your make it or break it, right? Mm-hmm. You're basically putting everything on the line for this business.
Yeah.
And you can absolutely do it. It's just going to take some pretty drastic budgeting changes and being very, very diligent about what's coming in and what's going out, and is what's going out serving the purpose, and putting your head down and getting this business off the ground. And then it will work. And then you'll be in a much better position long time financially because you'll have 100% control over your financial future.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm now like my brain is going to, okay, say 6 months from now, we made this, we survived the ripping of the Band-Aid. We're learning to live on a new, you know, manageable budget. Where do we go after that? Like, then what do we tackle? How do we tackle things? You know, like we don't have retirement to. Do we go back to trying to pay the highest amount on our student loans to get rid of that?
Learning to live on a lower budget is going to be crucial, because then as the money starts to come in from the new dental practice, uh-huh. I would do a combination of that. You would want to be tackling student loans, but you also are going to have to start saving for retirement because you want to start getting the time effect on your side, right? So we don't want to, because the student loans are a large amount, we don't want to only do the student loans, because I don't want to not have you saving for retirement, you know, until you're, let's say, 40s. I want you to start retirement as soon as the business is off the ground.
Okay.
It's also will be a tax break as well, which will be helpful. Now, I don't know if this is the case, but I thought at Henry Schein, the company, would also do something with your student loans. Is that not the case anymore?
No, they don't.
They don't. I thought they would like wrap it all into one if you opened a practice, that they would help with the loans as well as the materials. So what I would do is the first thing is going to be this dramatic budget change, right?
Right.
Just learning. So starting to try and live on a budget, household budget of $12,000, and then being really diligent about I would run the business budget just like I would run the household budget. Like if you don't have to pay for it, do not pay for it.
Okay.
If that means that you and your husband work on Sundays and you bring the kids in, then work on Sundays and bring the kids in, or Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Then that way, you know, my dad had a business and we went in and cleaned the office on the weekend. That was what we did. Could he have paid for a cleaner? Maybe, but it wasn't the best decision, right? And so if you don't have to pay for it and it's something you can do yourself on a night or a weekend, then you should do it yourself and run it really strict like that. Because then you want to be able to save up, you know, the working capital is part of a loan. You want to be able to have your own working capital, right? That's not a debt to somebody.
Yes.
And then from there, once the business is secure and you have some extra money for the business, right, then you want to, I think, do a combination of paying down your student loan debt while also saving for retirement.
Okay.
Does this feel overwhelming still, or does this feel like something that you can tackle?
Both. It does feel overwhelming.
And I think probably part of it is a bit overwhelming since you just went through and tallied everything up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what I think that you could end up doing, which I feel like probably doesn't feel like it's possible at this moment. But it, let's say, I think this is where I'm kind of targeting for you and your husband to be. But you, right now you have $1 million of debt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the ideal situation would be that you guys really make a dramatic change and get this business off the ground, and that the business end is worth, you know, somewhere around, you know, $500,000 in the next 10 years, right? Or maybe more, and is bringing in a really good income, so that you flip this in 10 years. Does that make sense?
Okay.
That you go from $1 million in debt to $1 million net worth. Because that's what I think you should strive for. Because I don't know what a practice like this could bring in, but I would imagine it can bring in a good amount of money.
Yes. Yeah, it can.
It can bring in somewhere around like 250 or more, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that should be the target, because then, and you can sell a dental practice, correct?
Yeah. He's saying gross 400.
Gross 400. Perfect. And then when you go to sell a dental practice, do they do it by a multiple of revenue?
That's like 8% of revenue, 80% of revenue.
You can sell it for 80% of revenue. Perfect. So that's going to be part of, so this business is part of your retirement plan. Because if you can get it up to 400 and you can get 80% of revenue, that would be fantastic. Plus what it's going to bring in on a yearly basis as well. So let's try, I think our target long term in the next 10 or 15 years is to try and flip your net worth.
Okay.
So turn it upside down. So rather than $1 million in debt, we have $1 million net worth.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Does that mean that like our student debt is paid off by then and everything? And
it might not mean that all your student debt is paid off, because that's a lot to get done in 10 years, but it might mean that the business is up and let's say at that point it's grossing $500,000 and you've saved more money for retirement. And then with the value of the business, maybe at that point we've gotten in you into a home and you've done a down payment, right? So on the balance sheet.
Got it. Yep.
You're positive.
Yes. Yes, I understand that now.
Yeah, because if you have a business grossing $500,000 and your husband's able to take home $200,000, $250,000 of it, right? And it has a saleable value to it.
Oh, so he was saying that basically double that, the business is making $1 million, so take home $500,000.
Perfect. Yeah, so then this is very doable. So what you need to think about in your head is that if you want to be a millionaire, which is a very viable option, you need to take some dramatic budgeting steps for the short term. So you have to live your life over the next probably 2 to 3 years. Like most people don't want to, like exactly how I did, right?
Yeah.
Living on my couch in my apartment and not my bedroom. So you're going to have to do something dramatic like that, but you will end up becoming a millionaire.
Okay.
That should be exciting.
Yes.
You can grow a business that can gross, you know, $1 million, $800,000, $1 million. I mean, that's fantastic. You'll have no problem reversing this situation.
Yeah. Yes.
But you're going to have to take steps that most people don't want to take and most people don't have the discipline to take. I think you can do it.
I think so too. We just have to realize that, learn to have fun in some other ways than not going to breweries all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, it'll go faster than you think. Like I would say for me, it took probably 3 years of really, really hard work for my business to get to where I wanted it to get. And it was, I just spent all my energy really on the business. And it's amazing how much you can go without. It really is.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we've been here in North Carolina for 3 years and time has flown. So I know that 3 years is not a long time. And
no, it's, the time is going to pass regardless, right?
Right.
So in 3 years, you can be in a similar situation, or in 3 years, you could be on your way to being a millionaire.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So I know our listeners are probably like listening, being like, how is this possible? So the reason why I'm saying this is because when you own a business, you have the ability to control the income, and a dental practice can be very lucrative. So the fact that you could build this business to generate $1 million in revenue every year will help you and your family get to the net worth that I'm targeting, which is, you know, get you to a positive balance sheet. Maybe we don't have all the loans paid off yet, but, you know, with your equity in the business, which you guys will own 100%, and getting the balance paid off on the business loan and then saving for retirement, a lot of your net worth will be tied up in the business, but that's fine. On a balance sheet, you will still be a positive net worth, and then we'll continue to save and get the student loans paid off.
Yeah.
But the key will be having a, you're not going to be living like a doctor, right? You and your husband won't be living that lifestyle. You're going to be living like college people, mm-hmm. which having done it, you know, I left Wall Street to buy a business. So like moving down the food chain in terms of income is really, really, really hard. It's very easy to move up the food chain. But once you get it in your head that this is a temporary situation and it's going to provide a much better situation long term for your family, I think that should help too.
Yeah, I think so. We moved down the food chain before, but that was pre-kids. And so it's a little easier with two people. And
yes, because now you have dependents.
Yeah, but it's doable.
I think you definitely do it. I think you're going to learn a lot, and I think you're going to grow a lot, and I think it's going to be very, very rewarding.
Agreed.
I feel like you still don't feel good about that. I like want you to be as excited as I am.
I think I probably will in like a month when I can actually see changes. And I think, you know, like looking at our whatever accounts and seeing those changes, and that, you know, our Amazon purchases decrease maybe, and just those random, like where did all that money go? I think that's when I will get excited, where I can actually see us implementing it. And
yeah. And I don't know if this will work for you, but for me, I always just took everything like 3 to 6 months at a time, because it was hard to think like a year of like, I still won't be able to afford this. So I just like always was like, okay, I'm just going to see how the business is doing in 3 months. And like, how's the business doing in 6 months? And like kind of tried to take like the big business steps as like smaller steps, mm-hmm. just so that, you know, break it down so that it feels manageable.
Yes. Yeah. He was saying that we've tried budgeting before and we've just failed. We haven't been able to find a way, you know, I don't know, to make it work. And I think that's why we feel overwhelmed, because we don't want to fail again. And so we will make it work.
I think I kind of almost feel like maybe this is all meant to be, because all the budgeting, because you said you tried the envelope thing, like, and all the different budgeting strategies, like this one, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like you have to do this for this to work.
Yeah, that is true. That it's not just, yeah, like a made up, well, let's set up this made up budget that we don't necessarily need, but.
Yeah, because before it like didn't matter if it worked or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like, you put it all on this and it has to work.
This is it.
But, you know, when you hear about entrepreneurs, if you've ever listened to the podcast, How I Built This on NPR, when they interview entrepreneurs, almost always the ones that were successful, like that was it. Like that was their shot. Like they had to make it work and they did.
Mm-hmm.
Like Damon James, his story was his mother mortgaged their house.
Hmm.
So he like couldn't fail. I mean, he could have, but he didn't want to fail, right? I mean, that would have been terrible. They lose the house.
Yeah.
So you can do it. And what I would do is just surround yourself with positive people who are going to support you throughout this, who aren't going to try and disrupt your budget. So if you have friends that are like, oh, well, don't worry about it, just one dinner out. No, you do not need those people in your life. It is not just one dinner out. This is your livelihood. This is the rest of your life. That $50 goes a long way. So you need to have a good support system. And I would make sure that you stay positive and listen to something that will inspire you on this journey, because it's going to be hard. And there's going to be days that it's harder than other days. But I would make sure that you have the right people around you too.
Yeah.
Because you don't want people that don't understand it. I cut anybody out of my life who thought that I could just put it on a credit card. Like, no, I can't.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
No. Yeah. And you don't want people that are making you feel bad about your choices or not supportive. You don't need any other stress in your life. So if you have, you know, people that are not going to go to the park with you because it's free, then they don't, yeah. you're going to need a good support system. This is definitely going to be a challenge.
Yeah, we can do it. We can do it.
You can definitely do it. I mean, think about how many, I mean, it's the American dream, right? Own your own business, control your entire destiny financially and mm-hmm. career-wise. I mean, your husband went to medical school to be able to have this opportunity, worked for years for this. Like this is the American dream. And I think you can absolutely do it.
Well, I'm glad you think we can.
Yeah, I'd be happy if you want to reach back out once you get going with the budget, but that's what I would do. I would do it with what you need to live on and then work your way backwards from there rather than the reverse.
Yeah. I like that. I like thinking of that. I think what made budgeting hard is, you know, like, well, how much are you going to spend at the pharmacy and how much will you spend? And I'm like, I don't know. Cause 1 month I do hair, 1 month I don't. And now I don't, I just cut my hair. So I don't even dye it anymore. So that's a huge savings.
Yeah. I would be like, yeah, that has to go too.
Yeah, a long time ago, I'm embracing the gray hairs.
Yeah. Perfect. And it's all temp. You have to remember it's all temporary.
Yeah.
This is not for the rest of your life. This is a temporary situation.
All right.
I don't know. You'll end up learning a lot about yourself. You'll grow so much. It's going to be worth it. 100% worth it.
Yes. We were, it's funny. We were just actually listening to the podcast yesterday about the loans and the student debt and the principal. And I was just a little over my head with that. And, but.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to personal finance.
Yeah, there is.
But so your biggest strategy right now, the one thing that you and your husband should focus on is your budget and getting this business off the ground. We can't delve too much farther into the strategies because I just want you to make the minimum payments on everything till you get right side up, right? Until we get the business off the ground.
All right.
We normally do follow-ups in a year, but we could even do your follow-up in 6 months because your life is going to be dramatically different in 6 months.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So why don't we do a follow-up for you maybe in 6 months at the end of the year in the fall?
I could do that.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hang on the line with me here for a sec. I'm going to wrap it up for our listeners, but thank you for joining.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for our listeners, if you would be so kind, leave us some comments on iTunes. Let us know if you like everything. Rate us. And you can always follow us on Instagram. At Planential, and you can check out our classes at www.planential.com.